9:45. Looks like we got a lot of people on here. Fantastic. So, we've got, you know, it's the National Missions. Many of you probably heard this morning service. That was really good.
Wow.
Man, it was so good and so needed on many, many levels. So that's going to be great. We've got, you know, they're doing the conversations with Bruce and Harry tonight. Then we've got the Global Glimpses, and there are links. That's Jim Alexander. Maybe somebody can help kind of tell us what we need to do. We're back on Zoom, and we click. Have we been assigned? Can anybody help me with this?
No, we're not assigned someone. They're all links under the mission.
Yeah, tonight you can pick your own.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Smorgasbord, and then they'll be recorded and put up. So if you didn't get to see all the ones you wanted, they will be recorded onto the website.
Okay.
And the links are where? The links are on the website, or?
Yeah, under National Ministries of Conference. Okay. You'll see them all in the evening. All of them are there, which should make for an interesting situation.
I'm glad I'm
just
not
just saying,
that.
Melanie. Just saying, it could be interesting.
I will be a participant. I am not a host.
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
It's going to be interesting. Anyway,
okay, well, I'm so looking forward to it. Got some great. Yeah, it's, you know, choosing which ones to go on. I'm glad they're recording them. I didn't even think about that. It's great.
I just sent Bruce and Brian an email saying, "Are you going to put the rest of these somewhere where we can see them?"
Yeah, so
that's what I understand.
Yeah. Too many good ones.
So Clark, what would it be all right if we all came? Cause we're used to coming to your house on National Missions.
Bring it.
We just all come over tonight and watch
Bring it
together.
Yeah, sure. No problem. You'll just have to stand outside.
Okay.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Socially distance.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I can't wait till we can do that. Like, please, Lord, let's get together. All right. So again, critical, especially today, per Sam, to email your prayer requests so that they can get them up, get them on the prayer email that we get that is so thorough and helpful. Judy and I look back at it during the week and it's just a great reminder, just very thorough. And lots going on. I mean, it's becoming quite a long document, isn't it, Sam? But do that by 5 today. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are pressing even right now. But the Carlsons, if you weren't on right at the beginning when we were all just chatting, Jim's mom is the 99-year-old mom who's been a part of our Sunday school class, it seems like, because Jim has just great stories, encouraging stories about her. But she's probably in her final days. Yeah. So let's pray for the Carlsons and their son Hardy and wife Rossi. They are due. Rossi's due November 3rd. They found out their baby girl is breech. So just pray for that. So I know there's a million requests, but they brought that up just a minute ago and both kind of pressing on time. So let's make sure to pray for that. Anyway, all right. Well, we're going to give you some time here, Tom, and looking forward to that. Thank you for being here. And let me open us with prayer. Father, I'm already encouraged just minutes into our time together, and I'm already encouraged in you and thankful for the fellowship that we have through your Holy Spirit and the life that we can have, as the pastor said this morning, just from small beginnings. Now we have a structure in place, the Discovery Class, that has life in it, Lord, and we share it with each other and we encourage and we literally cry and laugh, and just get to live life with hope, Lord, even in the most broken stuff, Lord, it is not without hope. So thank you for the encouragement, just of that from our fellowship together back and forth. And then from our, during the week that we pray for each other and we serve each other. And then our times on these Sunday mornings where we hear messages of your word and of your gospel. We thank you that we can hear that this morning through Tom and Connie and their work with Hope Health. Certainly pray for that work. Thank you that you've called them and I'm sure have encouraged them in many discouraging times. So we pray that you would bless us as we hear that today and support him and encourage them as they do this work. In Christ's name, amen. Tom, I'm going to give it to you and let you kind of do your own introduction. A lot of people know you, but thank you for being here.
Well, great. What do I need to be through?
What about noon?
just in time for lunch.
For lunch. Yeah, we do about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Is that good?
Okay. Sure. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's a blessing to be here. Briarwood has been a blessing to Connie and me for so many years, since we went to the mission field back in 1989 with Mission to the World. And we were church planners, with Mission to the World Medical, but doing church planning work in West Africa and Ivory Coast. And, in 2000, when we came back to the United States, Hope Health Center evolved out of that. One of my prayer requests, a big one coming back, was, Lord, could I be a missionary back in the United States? Overseas, I loved being a missionary. I loved how the, medical and the physical were so much intertwined, the physical needs and spiritual needs. And we see that so beautifully in the Gospels with Jesus. So my desire was, can I do that here in the United States? And coming back in 2003, we started Hope Health Center. And we started in East Lake. We were there on the east side of town for 6 years. And then in 2009, we moved over to the west side of town, and we've been in Fairfield for 11 years now. And we moved over there. We wanted to get a larger facility to improve our services with eye care. We've had intermittent dentistry, have counseling, and also have another physician, which was wonderful, Ben Davidson, who's been with me for, gosh, about 10 years now. So we're blessed to be over there. It's amazing where we are located, where we feel like God has prepared us for a time such as this today. Being in the middle of a pandemic, you know, to provide excellent health care in a community that has people in it that are at the highest risk, in the African-American community especially. And then also in the midst of all this social and racial demonstrations or for injustice, to be able to be there in the midst of a predominantly African-American community and to share the love of Christ. We've been there for years, and to be able to share Christ's love in word and deed with them has just been, it's been healing for me. And just to be able to do something, you know, to show that, no, it's not all like this. There are people that care. And we're thankful for our staff and y'all being behind us in that. And our goal every day, our mission is, if Jesus had a clinic in Fairfield, what would it look like? And we're trying to figure that out every day. It's a totally changing, evolving goal. But that is our desire. And as we seek that, we think, well, what would Jesus do in these situations? And of course, he'd love the patients. And how does he love them? You know, well, it's in the Gospels, but how do we love them with him in us? And so as we reflect on that, our desire is to seek him and his presence in us to respond to the needs that come to us. And we know, first of all, Jesus, you know, I'm amazed. He never was in a hurry. he was always crowded and surrounded by people, but he took time with them in the way that only he could. And he took time to listen. And boy, having time to listen is not something I'm good at. I'm in a hurry all the time as a physician and with patients and things. I struggle with that. But people want to be heard, especially when they come to a physician with so many needs that they have. So we're trying to do that as we come and the patients come. You know, there's just the opportunity that he has, that he gives us in those times are just wonderful. I just said something. There was, you know, as we take time to listen, you know, we hear their stories, and they all have stories. All of us do. But the stories I hear from them are just amazing. in the sense that the trials, the difficulties, the even the deaths, the loss, the sorrow that they're dealing with and have dealt with are phenomenal. And I'm just awed by them. And as they tell their stories, as I listen to them, in the same time I'm seeing a smile come over their face, and they're saying, I don't know how I would have got through this without Jesus. You know, I wouldn't be here today without Jesus. And I'm just amazed that, my gosh, instead of being bitter and angry with all they've been through, that they have grown in a wonderful way and are depending on him in a way like I've never had to through what they've experienced. So I am so thankful for the times that I am able to listen to their stories and not just deal quickly with their medical complaints. There's a book I read called Tattoos on the Heart. Gregory Boyle wrote it. And there's a quote I love, and he says, true compassion comes when you stand at awe at what the poor have to carry rather than stand in judgment at how they carry it. And I have found that so true. And listening to my patients, they've become heroes to me because of what they've endured and how well they're actually doing, considering all they've been through and how they do and are clinging to Jesus and how much he means to them. So we're trying to listen as Jesus would listen. The next thing we know, don't you just picture Jesus as kind and gentle? That our patients, many of them through their life stories and what they've been through, they're very fragile, and they're beat up by this culture. And there's a verse in Isaiah 42:3 that I think describes our patience and also God's gentleness toward them. And the verse is, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And that's how I see Jesus dealing with us and with them. And Brenda is a patient of mine. She came many years ago, over 10 years ago. When she came, she was a loner. She was staying in a boarding home, had no one to take care of her, came in, was very dirty, even though she was staying in a home. But like I say, there was no one, no family, no one that really cared about her. And she came in, and she's very shy, wouldn't have any eye contact, and examined her and tried to get a history from her. And she wouldn't take her shoes off, and her shoes were dirty. Ooh, they were dirty, and these wool socks, who knows how long they'd been on there and had never been taken off. But we were trying to be a thorough, excellent care for her, but we didn't push it. She was embarrassed, especially of her feet. And so we just let that go, and she came back several times. And as we got to talk to her and show that we cared about her, she got more and more comfortable with us. And so finally, you know, she let us take her shoes off. And you can imagine the smell. It's the worst thing I've ever smelled in my whole medical career. And just we have a wonderful nursing staff that just brought a basin of warm water and just washed those feet and peeled off the layers of I don't know what on those feet. And just the gentleness and the kindness that they showed her just broke her heart. And after that time, she would come in, and we saw that she was smiling more and more. And after a few times, she'd come in with this big smile, and she said every time I'd see her, she blurted out, I love you, doctor. And just with a beautiful smile. And it just gave my heart joy to see the change that she had come and how she'd come to express her love for other people, especially us, and also for Jesus. She's with the Lord now. She died from heart failure, but I look forward to that day in paradise when I'll see her again. She is a believer, I know, and just be greeted with that beautiful smile. It's just such a blessing. So Jesus was kind and gentle. He would be kind and gentle, and that's our desire too, to listen and be kind and gentle. You know, another thing amazing of Jesus is the way he was able to communicate value and respect to those he encountered. You know, the people that followed Jesus, so many of them were kind of like Brenda. They were the outcasts of society. They were the ones that were of no value to the community and were ignored and looked over, but not to Jesus. And they would come in masses, as we know, as we read the Gospels. And those masses of people, there were many that were sick. And, you know, the thing that amazes me about Jesus is, a lot of it amazes me, but that he never just said, okay, everybody's healed. You know, he could have done a mass healing, gone home and rested for the rest of the day. No, you know, he said, no, bring those who are ill and sick and weak and paralyzed, bring them and lay them at my feet. one by one, Jesus wanted to encounter those people with those desperate needs. And you can imagine at that moment when that person, hurting so badly and been disregarded for so many years probably, as they're in their encounter with Jesus at his feet or before him and eye to eye with him, just the ability, just what Jesus communicated in that moment, the value, the worthiness of that person and the respect of that person and love. And Jesus, boy, did he love them and value them. He gave his life for them. He knew he was going to give his life for them. So they are very valuable. And that's our desire too, that by his grace and spirit and presence in us, that we too could communicate that to those that he brings to us. So Jesus would show value and respect. And that's our desire too, is that we could do that too. The other thing, of course, we know Jesus loves people. He loved everyone, you know, and he loved those that came to him. And the thing I love is he didn't just love them. It was his delight to love them. He took joy, great joy, in loving those that he encountered. And oh, how we want to do the same by his spirit and grace in our lives. And Carrie is a 33-year-old mother that I've known for many years. And she has struggled her whole adult life with drug addiction. And she's been free from drugs for 7 years, but it's not been easy. She's on a drug called methadone, which allows the body to cease craving the opiates. But it in itself is kind of like that, but it doesn't give her a high. But still, it has horrible side effects for her, but she's struggling with that. And she, when I see her, and she's just so many times, she's just beaten down and discouraged. But the one light in her life is her 6-year-old son. And if she didn't have him, I think she would have committed suicide a long time ago. But that is her reason. He is her reason for living. But Carrie and I have talked about Jesus many times. And whenever Carrie smiles, when she's talking about her son, or a lot of times when we're talking about Jesus, she has to cover her mouth because her teeth are rotten, as they have been ravaged by the years of drug abuse and the effects of that on her teeth as well as on the rest of her body. So there's a 33-year-old young woman that really is embarrassed to even smile and covers her face when she smiles. And I, talking to her the other day, she was in the clinic and it was a good day for her. And we talked again about Jesus and how her son was doing. And she doesn't have custody of him, but she gets to see him. And as I talked to her, I said, you know, and I'd say this to a lot of patients. You ask them, you know, God loves you. Yeah, sure. I know God. I mean, like, wait a minute. Do you know God loves you? I mean, listen to this verse. And so I said this to Carrie. I said, it's Zephaniah 3:17. I said, Carrie, now listen, this is for you because she is a believer. I believe with all my heart that she has received that wonderful gift that Jesus has given her through grace and forgiveness. And I said, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. And then I said, Carrie, listen to this. He will rejoice over you with singing. I said, Carrie, do you understand that? Do you hear that? That the mighty God, the creator of the universe, Carrie, when he looks at you, he doesn't just smile. He can't keep quiet. He loves you so much. He just bursts into song. And he looks down at you, Carrie, and says, oh, my Carrie, my precious daughter, my princess, I am so glad I've created you. And I've created you, and you will be with me today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. For all eternity, you will delight in me, and I'll get to delight in you. And I get to share that with patients every day. Not every day I use that verse, but this is what we get to do with patients. And she goes out, and she's encouraged, but still, her life is such a struggle. And she has so many difficulties ahead of her, but she'll be back and we just encourage her in that faith and just by God's grace and spirit that she's moving closer and closer and finding victory in that with Jesus and Jesus alone. So we're thankful. God delights in his patients and all by his spirit, we are trying to delight and love those patients that he brings to us too. Now, of course, Jesus dealt with the physical needs. Obviously we see so many miracles in there. And again, that physical is such an important part as we want to address spiritual as well. But when Jesus dealt with the physical needs, you know, he did miracles. You know, these healings were miraculous, and even raising Lazarus from the dead. That, who'd ever seen that or who has seen that? But still, you can't find Lazarus walking this earth today. You know, all the people that Jesus healed physically, even raising from the dead, died. You know, they're no longer with us, but their soul is eternal. And of course, we'll see Lazarus. We'll get to see him when we're in paradise with our Lord too. So the physical needs are important, and we feel like that gives us a right by our desire to provide excellent, Christ-centered medical care, the best. We want to be the best because Jesus is the best. We're representing the best, and we want to serve him with the best and offer the best. So by offering excellent medical care, we pray and have wonderful opportunities then to address spiritual needs as well. And there is a lot of verses I love. Of course, we all have our favorite verses, but this one I think speaks so much to what we do. It's in John. It's John chapter 6, verse 63. And it says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." And so we every day, by God's Spirit in us and working in and through us, we are able to speak truth and life to our patients that have come through so many hard times. The spiritual is so important. We want them to come into this relationship that we have. And that's what the gospel is. When we share the gospel, what we're doing is like y'all too, is the same. We're sharing about this amazing Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. And that we come into that relationship, that he has brought us into this incredible, life-changing, dynamic, growing, fruitful, everlasting, forever relationship with him that just gets better and better. And that's our desire at Hope Health, is through our encounters with the patients he brings to us, that we can introduce them to the amazing Jesus that changed our lives and can change theirs as well. So that's our heart's desire. When someone comes to Hope Health Center, if they're not a believer, oh, we want them to encounter the living Jesus there. If they are a believer, we still want them to encounter the living Jesus, but to be encouraged and grow in their faith. And I would say one of our prayer requests that it's just such a burden. I don't know if burden's the right word, but it's just so hard because we have wonderful people, patients coming in. You know, they believe in God. They believe in Jesus. But when you really get down to what is their faith based on? Are they walking by faith in the grace of God and that they're saved by grace and grace alone? Or are they walking and depending on their works? Oh man, I tell you, 90%, maybe even more works. You know, works always is in there. And you try over and over again to share that about grace, that Jesus did it all. You know, when he was on that cross and hanging on that cross, his last words were, "It is finished. It's a done deal. Finished." He didn't say, "Now you be good. You know, come on, try harder or read your Bible more. Go to Sunday school or whatever." No, it is finished. So please pray as you think about us that God would continue to work in our patients' hearts. And it's a gift that we understand what grace is, that we've grasped that spiritual truth because it's so against our human nature. So that's something I just am amazed that just the barriers that are there for that. So please, we appreciate prayer for that. Of course, Jesus was a man of prayer, and how could we not be bathed in prayer. We start every day as a staff together. We pray at the end of a day, you know, we pray together. But then during the day, you know, we pray at the end of every visit with the patient. But even before going in, so often, a lot of times I'll see a patient and I'm thinking, oh man, not him or her again. You know, oh, why did I bring her back so fast? You know, I should have given her a couple more months, you know, just my attitude, you know, just, oh, she always complains. I can't help her. Or just a lot of reasons, a lot of stuff mixed up in here during the day for me. So even before I go in, so often I'll stand outside that room. And I know people wonder, you know, when the doctor stands outside your exam room, I know I've been in, and you see him standing there. I guess he's looking through my chart, you know, no. I'm praying. I'm just praying. Lord Jesus, please, please help me to love this person. Lord Jesus, please help me get out of the way. And oh, Lord, I want you to come in and take over and love this person the way only you can through me. And I'll tell you that prayer works every time. In fact, I prayed that prayer. It was Thursday. And I said, no way this will work this time. And it worked, you know, every time, because my, you know, it's just amazing. I'm just awed by that So praying before going in, and then of course the patients, their needs are overwhelming many times. They're not just physical needs, just the situations they're in, the depression, mental illness, their physical needs, just where they're living, the relations that they have, relationships with family or abandonment, or just, it's overwhelming. And in family medicine, you know, we're supposed to deal with the physical needs as well as, I mean, the medical, like blood pressure and, you know, heart disease or whatever. But then we also, they have all these emotional depression and anxiety too, that's very difficult. So it takes a lot. So by God's grace and prayer, he works us through that in his perfect way. And then of course, at the end, when we pray, that again just communicates, as I showed about how Jesus valued and respected somebody. When we pray at the end with a patient, it's beautiful. They appreciate it so much, and it really, it communicates. Of course, prayer by itself is so important, but I, to watch how that person responds, they are valued. They appreciate that. It's like, wow, you really do care. And so it's wonderful. Jesus is the healer, not me. You know, I love being a physician, but I've been a physician for over 40 years, but I haven't healed anybody. But I pray and know that Jesus, by his grace and spirit working in me, has healed others. And so he's the healer. So we come to him with prayer. And Linda's an example of a patient I've had, well, another lady I've had for many years. And when she came, she was very hard, she's kind of living in some, making really bad life choices, and just as a result was living in a very difficult situation. And she was hard. She wasn't open to anything, wouldn't even be willing to listen. And she's been there for over 10 years now. And so we saw her as relationships get to develop, you know, and that's a wonderful thing. These patients I get to see back over and over again because I'm in primary care. So I call them back. They get to come back. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but that's all in God's hands. But 2 years ago, her longtime boyfriend died, and it was very suddenly. And I saw her soon after that, and I asked her how she was doing. She says, "Oh, I'm doing fine." You know, I said, "Well, I'm so sorry about your boyfriend." And she said, "Oh, that's no big deal. You know, he had it coming. He got what he deserved. He never took care of himself, so I'm better off without him." You know, that was her comment. And wow. Obviously she had just blocked all that off and was not doing well. And so that went on for about a year. And then over this past year, I've noticed a softness starting in her heart. Just a little different, a little more openness. And I saw her a couple weeks ago. It was the last visit of the day, so I had some time to listen. And so we started talking, and of course I asked her how she and Jesus were doing. And she looked at me, and there's just a softness in her and a smile that I'd never seen before. And she says, "I'm changing." And she said, "Jesus is working in me." And, you know, there's the verse, I love the verse in it's Mark 11, chapter 11, 22, when Jesus talks about our faith. If you have faith and you say to this mountain, "Be taken up and cast in the sea," it will be done for you if you ask without doubting. And, you know, mountains are big things, and mountains are heavy, and they don't move too fast a lot of times. But what I've seen in Linda is that her mountain is moving. You know, Jesus is moving this mountain. Her mountain is moving slow, but with time, I know that it's going to be in the city, that God is answering our prayers. And so it is, prayer is effective, and we need to open our eyes. And so many times I'll talk to a patient and we'll reminisce, and I've forgotten when they came to us and over the years where they are today and just the change that has come over them. It's been very slight over the years, but when you look at where we are today to where they were before, God is working. And I know the best part is he's working in me too, and it's wonderful. And I'm so, so blessed to be where I am. It's hard at the end of the day. I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. And often as I get in my car, I think back on the day. You know, I'm encouraged when I think back of the patient encounters I had and some good spiritual conversations with patients. But also, I get a little discouraged because I see in the same day with that, I see where I've been impatient with someone. I've been critical. I've been complaining. But the wonderful thing is, you know, in that brokenness, that brings brokenness in a beautiful way as I come to my Savior's feet, like I encourage my patients in the same way and just confess that. And I know I'm inadequate, and boy, does he know I'm inadequate, but that's okay. You know, because the amazing Jesus who gave everything for me takes me, I just feel his loving arms around me. And just, I love, you know, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, and that rest is so beautiful as I rest in him and just receive just his presence and just be still and know that he is God. It's beautiful. I'm so thankful for those times. And so get up the next morning, I'm ready to go, you know, seeing my need and clinging to Jesus even more than the day before. So it's a privilege to get to serve in the ministry God's called me to. Thank you all so much for supporting us for so many years overseas and now in the U.S. and in Fairfield. And we do cherish your prayers. They are so vital. And we thank you because we get prayer requests so often from people from the committee and everyone. So we're thankful. If you want to get a prayer letter, you can get my email. It's just send me an email. My email is tedwards@hopehealthcenter.org. So, tedwards@hopehealthcenter.org. Well, thanks. Y'all are very quiet. Do y'all have questions? You can't throw anything at me because we're on the screen.
Yeah, I guess we can. How do we do, Melody? Should we? Can you? What do you think? Have people unmute themselves if they have a question, or
yeah, they can just unmute themselves, just like if we were in Sunday school. I mean,
okay,
start talking.
Yeah, it's probably better than unmuting everybody and all the dogs are barking. And by the way, Tom, fantastic! It's an amazing ministry. I've known that for years, and hear people who've gone out there and just, I mean, we love the ministry. It's what it just feels like, one of the most Christ-like things we do as a church. So thank you. Anybody have?
I do. I've got a question, Tom. Besides the patients, do you have interaction or encouragement, appreciation from the community, the businesses, the city government? Do you have interactions with them at all?
Not a whole lot, unfortunately. We really don't. We, of course, a lot of our patients are from the community, but as far as like City Hall, no. We're there. We've been there 11 years.
So knowledge of you out there is it word of mouth? Is
that how they pretty much. Know I mean, about? You know, we're a presence there, but we're not. It's mostly word of mouth. But it is amazing how people do know about us. I'm surprised. I just had a patient this week come in for that reason. And, she kind of let me know there was a network out there that she'd gotten heard about us through that network.
Well, Tom, you mentioned that the minority community is more at risk. My guess is that would be perhaps because a lot of them are doing somewhat menial jobs, more exposed to germs as a result. And you have a lot of grandparents raising grandchildren, and maybe it spreads more widely among grandchildren and they bring it home to the grandparents. Would I be right, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, there's some thoughts. One is the high risk is pretty much due to the comorbidities. There's a lot of, in the black population, there's more hypertension and diabetes, and of course obesity in the urban area is terrible. These are just things that would predispose someone at any age. The good news is I think they're finding with kids that there's very low risk of them getting infected. So that does protect the grandparents. But you're right. We have a lot of grandmothers that are taking care of elementary school kids. And they, the thing they're struggling with is doing this online, the virtual classroom. They are really struggling with that. It's just, that is just so sad.
Tom, I want to say this because it's so different than what we see on TV all the time. You said, you talked about their openness to the gospel and their openness to spiritual things, with even though it might be about works for them, but, in going to therapy and being a peer of people at rehab with inner city, or being in contact with cab drivers when I was taking the cab or the transit bus and all that. That's what I found. The inner city, they were very open to the gospel. Not at all like what we hear about on TV all the time.
Yeah.
All this angst and stuff. And,
yeah.
Very receptive to talking about the Lord. It's encouraging.
Yeah. They got it.
Hey, thanks a lot for sharing. It's Carter Harsh.
Hey, Carter.
We appreciate what you do there. Your clinic ministry may be the perfect size, or it might be something where you would want to grow. And if it is something you wanted to grow, is that, you need more doctors, you need more space, you need more finances, you need more patients. What's your thought on that?
Well, I appreciate that, Carter. We've sought the Lord's will about growing and kind of pursued that in the past, but he just seems to say, just keep doing what you're doing. So I just have to say, through prayer, and we've done it several times where we sought his will. Do you want us to grow? And he just seems to say, keep doing what you're doing. So right now we've just kind of checked that out again. So with the Lord, and it seems that's what he seems to say, is just keep doing what you're doing, which is fine. I mean, what a blessing. So
Tommy, tell them about the lot that you want that needs prayer.
About what?
The lot.
Oh, the lot. Oh.
Yeah. Following on to Carter's, maybe that's something we can pray about.
Yeah. Well, there is a huge parking lot right next to us. There's a church that, has been vacated years ago as a church, and, family bought that church, I don't know, many years ago, and they own the property, and, they have a little school. It's a very condemned building, but they still run a little school in there of a few kids. But, with Restoration, we're right next door to Restoration Academy, and they were wanting to expand, and we were thinking very seriously about expanding too. And the lot would be, it's a lot of land, but, they won't sell the lot. And Restoration even offered them top dollar for that lot. And there's just, is the lady is the one that is the boss, and she won't sell it. We've even tried to rent it for parking, and she won't let us do that either, unless we just do some just ridiculous, conditions, that go along with it, with a very high price. So she's been very much, we feel like we've really been against a wall there. So if we did expand, we would have to move, because we can't, unless God did something about that lot. But yeah, thanks, Clark.
Anything else?
Hey, Tom, does the owner live in the community or outside of the community?
She lives down, yeah, she does, like in Inslee, which is right next to Fairfield. She does.
Okay. Well, we can pray for that as a Sunday school class.
Yeah.
And
Tom, is there any tie together with, I think it's Urban Hope?
Yeah.
There, is there much tie together with you guys?
Yes. We love them being there. It's wonderful. Oh, Alan and Sarah. And we have our referral clerk goes to, she's a very active member. She and her husband are very active in that church. They live in Fairfield. Yeah, when we have patients, you know, that it's interesting. So many of them are church. I use that loosely, church. And I don't know, especially now with the virtual and all that's going on. But especially before, we would try to encourage them to get, you know, to go to Urban Hope. So yeah, it's wonderful having a ministry like that in the community. We're thankful for them.
What do you have? And you mentioned counseling in terms of counseling and also just health education. I guess that's a little more difficult with COVID getting groups together, but I think at one time you had some things like exercise classes or nutrition. Is that still something you're wanting to do or doing?
Well, thank you for asking that. We have counseling and it's thriving, but it's all done by phone. We have Marian Henderson is our counselor. She's been with us for well over 10 years. She's great. And it's because the patients, had to come to the office. Many of them wouldn't show up for counseling, but now that they're doing it over the phone with her, it's going really well. It's one part of our ministry that's probably flourishing right now. Thanks. Thanks to Marian too. Just, she's working hard and just a very gifted at what she does. It would be hard to meet as groups now. We did have an exercise group. It was great. The ladies just enjoyed the time. They'd meet every Saturday and have such great fellowship and didn't exercise much. I think over a year, they didn't lose a pound, but they got to know each other better and had a great time. And we'd do that again in a second, just for the fellowship. And Marian, actually, our counselor, is doing a Bible study. These ladies, there's about six of them. They've been in it for like 5 years. It's just going really well. But yeah, obesity is a terrible problem. And I see my patients getting heavier and heavier with this. You know, they're staying at home and they're not getting out like before. So it's not going well for those that are struggling with weight. So that's hard, but it'd be hard to do a group now. My patients, I think, are very afraid, about what's going on. So they don't do anything I say, but they're staying home now. So. So they're worried.
And is it harder to reach the men?
Oh, yeah.
Because I hear you talking about ladies.
Yeah, that's true. I should put a man in there, shouldn't I? There are some men. I look for them. If they show some openness to the gospel, I can meet with them. I try to encourage them. There are some men that are really struggling. They don't come in as much as the ladies. But yeah, there's some men. Boy, when we find a man that is a husband and father, boy, he's our champion. You know, I just can't encourage him enough to what a role model and example he is. And so we love it when we have dads come in, or like when we see kids and when the dad will come in with a child. Oh man, that's fantastic. Cause then you get to, you know, encourage him in his role.
Wow.
There are men out there, very much so too.
Tom, hey, this is Phil Anderson. I know you have had several of the Briarwood Fellows come through Hope Health. Yeah. I think you've got Brandon London Elrod, I believe.
Exactly. He's
and thanks for doing that. That's been a tremendous experience.
Yeah, I was counting that. We've had five. Started with Christian Smith back about 5 years ago, and we've had one every year. And London is just doing a fantastic job. He's really filled in and taken responsibility that others would have to carry if he wasn't there. So yeah, we have been blessed over 5 years with the fellow program. Yeah, Seth does a great job. Y'all do as the board as well. Thank you for
thank you.
You've been blessed by that.
Yes, thanks.
What specific prayer request would you share with our class that we can be praying for?
There's Barbara. She's on our board. Mm-hmm. Barbara's on our board. Barney Sims, he goes to Briarwood. He's an elder Briarwood. He's on our board. And Bobby Parks is on our board. Just our board is so precious. We're just so thankful for them and just a blessing and encouragement to us. I guess prayer request would be, as I've shared that one about grace, that there would be an opening, that God would give us wisdom. And just I know it's a spiritual warfare there, and just the gift of these people receiving and understanding grace in their lives and not being trying to be good enough. And so that's one. And just, I guess as I shared, you know, Jesus was never in a hurry, but I'm in a hurry all the time, so that I would have discernment in knowing when to bring up spiritual things and not, because, you know, just time with the patients. I would pray for our staff. We've got a great staff. We're fantastic. We have a, there's wonderful unity we're having now. We have a new nurse. It's just begun. Her name is Caroline, and she's been with us just about 3 weeks. And, but the, our Robin, our other nurse, is going to stay with us on a part-time, maybe volunteer basis too. So we're just really blessed with staff right now, and just pray for them. You know, there's fear. We encounter patients every day. You know, we screen them at the door. But a lot of times they don't, for whatever reason, they won't tell you they have a cough. They'll say no. And then they get in the exam room and they're coughing. And, so we're getting exposed, not a lot because we're trying to be real careful, but just, you know, our exposure to COVID and taking that home to our families as well. We've had no one in our staff. We thank God that's been infected through a patient in our clinic. So we're thankful for that. So just wisdom in how to maintain the clinic, but at the same time, share the love of Christ. You know, touch is such an important thing, you know, and caring and hugging and demonstrating love. And it's just so sterile sometimes. That's so hard, but we still, that we could communicate God's love. I'm rambling on. I'm thinking, just, I guess for our patients, just, their fear about COVID. They really are. I see that in them, and, you know, it gives opportunity to talk about Jesus with them, and they acknowledge it. But they're just fearful, and just, you know, they're in Birmingham City School, and they, you know, they provide hotspots. They'll provide computer. They'll provide technology for the homes, but still it just doesn't work, as we all know, even if we've got everything. So a lot of the kids are not getting the school they need. They're going to be left behind. So just praying for these families and just the changes that are going on with COVID, and how we can encourage them in that too. We have our patient numbers decreased a little bit, but we're financially doing great. So that's something to thank God for. Financially, we are doing fantastic. So, hallelujah. That's a praise item for sure.
Sure. Well, we're going to get, then Barbara is, I didn't realize you were on the board. You've told us that before, Barbara. I'm so glad. And other people seem to be very involved. Thank you for that. So Barbara is going to close us in prayer for you, Tom,
and
for the ministry. And then our tradition here is that Ken and Susan Berg, close us with worship and a hymn. It's just a sweet thing. And then we kind of hang around and talk. So we'll probably be talking about your ministry. You're welcome for as long as you can or feel like it. We'll hang around a little while, but what if you have to go somewhere else? I totally get it. Thank you again so much for being here.
Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
You all behaved
very well.
We may need you back then. That's a first. Benny, yeah, if it was, we just treat you as well when you're teaching. All right, Barbara, let me turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. You know, we're just coming for you now, and just thank you for Tom. Thank you for his heart. Thank you that you called him to come into the medical ministry so many years ago, and how he served you in Africa, and now I'm serving you in inner city Birmingham. We are so richly blessed by he and Connie's service to the underserved in our community. Thank you for calling him to Hope Health, and what his longevity that he's been since 2004 when he started. And we just give you the honor and the praise for what that ministry is doing. And we just lift him up, Lord. I just thank you for the example of Jesus that he is and speaking to us today. Just the humility just oozes forth, and just thank you that we get to hear that, and we get to be challenged by it, and we get to hopefully steward that in our own lives individually. So I thank you for that example of Jesus that he is to his patients that we get to hear. But we do pray that his patients would hear the grace that is emanated from Tom and his staff as they meet with them and check them in, that they would know it's by grace alone, that and faith alone, that we have salvation with you. And I just pray for them to hear, listening hearts to hear that from within. And we pray for Tom's discernment as he and Ben meet with each patient, and to give them the time that each patient needs to listen to to their needs or that aren't even being spoken and aren't medically diagnosed, that they could be able to hear and discern that. And so I just pray for that grace for them at each day. Pray for their staff as well, the nurses and the others that check them in and the records folks. Just pray for them as they minister. Thank you for Bill Koch that works there as an administrator. He gives his time freely with that. And just pray for God's love to permeate as they walk into that clinic and as they leave. Pray that we'd, you would bind the fear of COVID from these patients as they do their daily lives, even as they transmit it and work with their own children in the home. And we just pray that the enemy would be bound in all ways. And just pray for grace for the staff as well as they move through each day. And I just thank you for the gift that they are in the city of Fairfield and those that they minister to so selflessly. And I just thank you for the gift of knowing them and knowing of that ministry, Lord. And I just pray that we would be diligent in our prayers and lifting them up. And we give all this to you, the honor, the glory, and the praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his love who died for me. More about his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be. Show to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.